Okay, I have here a backpack. This is my trusty backpack. I take it all over the place. Thank you. I have my helper here. Her name is Shaylin. Why don't you cheer her on? Shaylin, she's here to help me. Now, this backpack is going to represent me. So within this backpack, there's a lot of stuff in there. Within this backpack, it represents me. And so there's things that I'm going to get you to shout out that you think what might be in this backpack. Things that might represent me or things that I usually like. Usually. I mean, you know. But things that I normally would appreciate or activities that I like to do or things that might represent me, okay? So this whole backpack represents me, and Shaylin's going to help me out, because if you guess right, or if you guess something that's in here, Shaylin's going to deliver it to you as my gift to you. Now, because I was asked to speak yesterday morning, and the dollar store was closed this morning, there are things from my house. So just be aware of that, and some of them don't make sense, but they're creative. Okay? So, go ahead. What might be in here that would represent me? Yes. Coffee. That was a good one. You get a gold star. Gold star. That was really good. Yeah, that was really good. I guess it was before I had coffee this morning. You can't answer. Yep. Doug?
Sunscreen.
No. But you're along the right lines. Yep. My phone. You can't have my phone. Denise?
Games,
yes. Okay, so that would be in the professional compartment. So because I play a lot of games with students, as Denise knows, she once wore body armor to a youth night and still got hurt somehow. Rug burn, right? Okay, so you can deliver that to Denise back there. I hope all the cards are there. Again, they're from my house. So that was your favorite deck of cards. Sorry, Jason. Perfect. You can bring the cards. What else? My Bible. Yes, that is in my personal life compartment. Okay, that was good, right? No, not my Bible. You get a little baby Bible. It's the Gospel of John. That's for you. Okay. What else? What else? Yep.
Chocolate
gold star. I do like chocolate. There is no food, I don't think, in here. I do like chocolate. Sorry, gold star. Pardon? Lipstick. I do like lipstick, but it's not in here. Gold star. What else? What else? Yep, Richard?
Breath.
What are you trying to say? No. There, you can have some from the sound booth, my secret stash. Keep going. Yep. My guitar? No, but I do like music, and I have a guitar pick. So you get a handy-dandy music, because the music is a big part of my life. Yes. Money. Yes, that's in my professional section. I think, just joking, it's not. This is my professional section, and you get money! There you go, that's for you. Yep. Kayaking! Yes, that's in here, but I couldn't fit a boat in, so you just get part of the water, okay? Okay, what else? Yep. You can't have my car. I don't have anything in there. You might not want my car. It's rattling. What else? Yep. Crocs are not and would never be representative of me, Quinn. Yep. What else? What else? Keep it coming quick. Yep.
A tennis ball.
No. Keep going. What do I like in terms of youth? What do I love? Youth, yes. And there's an overflow wristband. That's for you. That's for youth. What else do I like? My cat, I do. I love my cat. I love animals. That's in my personal compartment. But I don't have a cat in here. I thought about giving cat food, but I just like animals in general. So you get this random picture that I found in my basement. What else? What else? Bonfires. I love bonfires, but specifically I love bonfires with my friends and with my family. I love spending time with them. So I'm going to open up my personal compartment. Oh, my personal compartment. And I'm going to look up. This is an album, because I love spending time with friends and family, taking pictures. So photo album is a good way to represent that. You can go ahead and take that over. Yep. Church. I love church. I love being in church, because I love the Lord. And that's in my, my Jesus compartment. And it's on the outside of my life, because I want everyone to see. I want everyone to see that I love Jesus. Also, my phone is in here, but you can't have it. There you go. So you get this. You can take that over. That's like, it's from wood from Bethlehem. It's a little Christmas decoration, and they can have that. Yes, what else? Turkey? Tennis ball and turkey. Like, what? Well, no. Okay, what else? What else? There's three more items. What do I like to do in my spare time? Yep. Lighthouse? My lighthouse. I love the Lord. I love spending time with the Lord. I love learning about the Lord. So I'm going to open up my professional category here, and I'm going to pull out a book because I love to read about the Lord. I love to study. So there's a book that's for you. It's called All In, which is the message for this morning. Woo! Plan that one. Yeah. I love to sing. My guitar pick is, you can share that. You can share the guitar pick. What else? Couple more. What? I'll give you a hint. We went to Hawaii together. Yeah. Jason, I like him. Oh my goodness, imagine. So I'm going to open up my like newly married, it's the smallest compartment, so I'm going to open it up because it's new. And I'm gonna pull out my diamond ring. Woo! So that's, you could deliver that over to Jewel. I'm sorry, it's broken. That does not represent our life. Okay? Okay, and finally, we went to Hawaii. One more. We went to Hawaii. So what do I normally like? Yeah. Traveling. I love to travel. I love to see God's creation. I love to be humbled by him. And I'm going to pull out my personal life compartment here, and I'm going to pull out these. Those are for, like, luggage tags. Yeah. So that's for you. So you can share. There's two. One's pink, though. Sorry. Thank you, Shayla. Why don't you give her a round of applause? She was super helpful. Thank you. You can sit down. So, with my trusty backpack, I had different compartments. All of this backpack represented my life, right? This was me. Pink, fun, glowing, stuff in it. I don't know. This was my backpack. This is representative of me. But my life had different compartments. I had a big compartment that was my personal life. I had another compartment that was my ministry, my job, my work life. And then I had another one. That was my personal life, I guess. My secret, maybe not so secret, my engaged life. It was little because it's new. And then I had the ones on the outside that I wanted people to see. So I had music. I like to play music. I like to sing. And the shower hasn't kicked me out yet, so I feel like I'm doing okay. And then on the outside, I had Jesus sticking right out there so that everyone can see. Right? Do you see my sparkling ring? No big deal. Everyone can see that part, right? The thing is that when we live with compartments, it's not a full, healthy, or surrendered life when we take compartments over to church. And we start to wear, we don't just have this, oops, sorry sound people. We have this backpack on and we live our life, we bring it over, but then when we come to church, we whip out our whole backpack and we open up just a section. Say, Jesus, you can have this part, but you can't have the rest. When we live in compartment, we compartmentalize our life, we say things and it's easier, like, oh, I don't do that. But it's so subtle when we do it. We say, oh, you know, you can't say that at church. That's compartmentalizing, right? Because what we say at church and what we say at home, God sees it. God's everywhere. There's no secrets. There's nothing hidden from God. But what we say or what we do at church, for some reason, you know, like, oh, you can't do that at church, or you can't say that at church, or you have to be nice at church, you have to behave a certain way at church. But that's compartmentalizing, right? It's putting some of us on display, part of us, where we behave really well, we're really good Christians, we behave a certain way at church. But then when we're at home, maybe our behavior changes or our language changes, or sometimes we just relax more at home. And I'm an introvert, I totally understand, where there's like a feeling of being on. And maybe you can recognize that if you're an introvert, or even if you're an extrovert, where you have this sensation of feeling like you're on, in public in general. And maybe it's just part of your personality or whatnot, but sometimes it can be really easy for those people who feel like they're on in public to compartmentalize their life and offer the Lord part of you and not necessarily all of you. Jesus gave his whole self, his body, soul, mind, will. He gave his emotions. He gave his physical self, his whole self for us. And he wants the whole self of us, not just one compartment. He wants surrender in every area of our life. Right now, Pastor Jason's doing everything that he can, everything that he can to tell someone close to him that Jesus saves. It makes me think of salvation a little bit closer. It gives you a check, doesn't it? Salvation is so much more important than what we have on our calendar. Salvation is so much more important than what we could have in our job or our home life. It's our whole self. Jesus died for our whole self. It makes me think about who I would be or who I would have been without Jesus. Who I would have been without Jesus and intervening and offering me another way. And how many of us know what that might have been. You can imagine your life, what it might have looked like without Jesus in it. You can imagine. And then you're so thankful and humbled by the fact that God saved you, that he turned you around, said, there's a better way. I came to give life and life to the fullest. That's what he came for. And so we can come to life and life to the fullest. But when we come with only one compartment, when we come with only one part of us, we're missing out on the fullness of what God has for our lives. Does that make sense? We're missing out. When you spend time with a lot of Christians, there's a culture that you might notice. There's certain things that become normal, such as fighting for the check. Have you done the dance? You fight for the check, or sometimes some of you are so good at it that you don't even see the bill and it's taken care of, and you've been blessed, and then you feel, but you've been blessed, but you feel like you're kind of like dine and dashing because you haven't paid. It kind of feels weird. You're like, oh man, we get into this culture where we get used to certain things, or fighting for somebody else's check. No, it's on me. Or hugging. We get used to hugging. That's a part of a Christian culture, church culture, you know, hugging all the time, hug with the butt out kind of thing, hug with side hug. We get used to all these hugs. Plan to Protect says just to keep your distance. But when we also get used to someone saying, you know, you live next to somebody who's a believer and you get used to those, praise the Lord, just randomly shouting out, you know, it's a good day, it's not raining, you're like, praise the Lord. Or you hear, you know, someone paid for your food, or praise the Lord. You just get used to these certain things, and at first you're like, that is the strangest sentence that I've ever heard. And then you get around it, you get more used to it, and it just becomes a part of the language. Like anything, when you're around it a lot, like anything, it becomes a part of a language. It kind of at first shocks you. At first there's a huge significance, and then it becomes more familiar. Can we decide not to let salvation become so familiar that the significance is lost? Can we decide that as a church? Because when we remember who we used to be or who we might have been, and then we remember that we're saved and free, and the things that God speaks over us, there's a list. I'm saved. I'm free. I'm redeemed. I'm royal. I'm mighty. I am accepted. I am loved. I belong. I'm holy and blameless. I've been rescued. When we remember those things, we're humbled. And we can, and I dare say, we could actually be a more effective church. Because the only difference between people in here and out there is that we know that we need Jesus. We know we're sinners. We look around and there's no such thing as a holier than thou, because we all need Jesus and he is holier than us. Thou? He is better. We need him. We need him. And so things like that, those sentences, can we not let those things become common or familiar? Can we not forget the significance of our salvation? Ours or the ones that we've been commissioned to disciple. When we look at salvation with fresh eyes, as if it's for the first time, isn't it amazing? I mean, come on, church. It's amazing. We re-encounter the overwhelming love. We re-encounter the purpose that we have in life. We re-encounter the freedom from wrongdoing, that we're blameless, that we've been set free and saved and rescued and forgiven, that we are his. We've been given purpose. If that doesn't excite you, you need a new encounter with the Lord, a refreshing. I was having this conversation, I spent a lot of time with students, but having this conversation, and it's all across the board. When was the last time that we had an encounter with Jesus that wasn't just serving? It wasn't performance-based. It wasn't, I have to get something done, but to be still and know that he is God. When was the last time that the Holy Spirit refreshed you in stillness, in quiet? And when we think about our calendar, if it's been a long time or if it hasn't, what can that look like this week? Practically, think about your calendar even now. Think about this week. Kids camp ends at 1. When can I spend time with the Lord? Okay, well, I have this and this on the agenda. I have this and this and this. Okay, but when are we going to make time for the Lord? And is he our priority? Because we can put things and we can put stuff and we can put a calendar above time with the Lord. But what is our priority and how are we going to make him first? And what is it going to look like to actually be refreshed in the Lord? The last time I spoke about investing in rest and the Sabbath. And I was reminded just once again that the Sabbath is actually part of the Ten Commandments, to take time to rest. And since the last time I spoke, how has that gone for you? What does it look like in your life? What changes have you felt? What peace and trust and renewing, what joy have you found in the Lord? In the scripture we read this morning, it says, if we keep quiet about our salvation, about the joy of the Lord, if we keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Come on. Come on. If we keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Creation is worshiping. Are you joining in or is something holding you back? We know this as Christians. The penalty is, back to the basics, the penalty of sin is death. And God doesn't look at your sin and give out a penalty based on the scale of where your sin was bad. You know, if you stole a piece of gum or if you're in maximum lockup, you're a sinner. We're sinners, praise the Lord, because the reason that we love the Lord, the way that he loved us is because he died for us. He loved us first. He loved us first. As Christians, we know this, and we have all the reason to celebrate because we're forgiven. Man, there's so much silence in the house this morning. We're forgiven. Come on. What would it look like to view yourself the way that God sees you? What would it look like? I mean, we have these ideas of who we are, but what if we asked Jesus, what do you think of me, God? That list would come up. Oh, you're my son or daughter. Man, I love you. You're chosen. I've called you to do something powerful, and don't let anything hold you back because my strength is enough in your weakness. You are set aside to be holy and righteous. You are blameless. You are loved. There is nothing I can't do for you. I fight for you. I am your God. What? Aren't you excited by that? Doesn't that make you, like, when I get excited, it's like I spasm. I'm like, ooh, how do you get excited? Do you stare at your preacher and just wait for the subtle moment where you're like, amen? I mean, when I get excited, there's a picture of me on my wedding day where I'm like, it is not flattering at all, but I was so excited, right? Like, we get to be excited about our God, and we get to be free in our worship because he set us free, and there's nothing that any human or anything else for that matter can do to stop you from being their full self except for you. So get out of your way. Get out of your way. What would it look like to allow God to minister, to see yourselves how he sees you? He's shown to see how he views you, that we are beloved, redeemed, loved, blameless, accepted, that we belong. Do you believe that? I encourage you this week to read through one of these, just even now, to reflect on those statements that God has made about your life, because those are true. reflect on some of those statements. I mean, there's many, many more, but those, just even thinking about one of those, pick one of those, one that stands out to you, that you're, that makes you stir, that you're excited about and think, oh yeah, I forgot that I belong. Oh yeah, I forgot that I'm accepted by him. I forgot that I'm free. Pride, fear, doubt get in the way so often. I forgot that I'm free. Who do I have to fear, right? Pick one of those this week and allow the Holy Spirit to wrestle through any doubts or areas that might discount it so that you can have truth solidify in your life. I can't do it for you. Your friends and your family can't do it for you. That time that you spend with the Lord this week reflecting on one of those will allow the Holy Spirit to minister to solidify truth. Do you know what John 3:16 says? Right, can we say it together? Children of Sunday school class. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yes. Translations are different. Do you know, though, what Revelation 3:16 says? It says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. The contrast. Through John 3:16, he gave all he had, everything he had. He gave it for us. And Revelation reminds us that he wants it all back. To not just be lukewarm, to not settle in the middle and say, I'm good. I have faith. But do you have faith and obedience walking in step? James says that we need faith and actions. We need faith and obedience to move forward. God went all in for us, and he wants the same in return. Later in this passage, it gives us hope once again that those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with that person and they with me. All in. Don't be lukewarm. There's two people I'm going to touch base on quickly, and one of them is Hannah and the other one is Mary. Hannah is a little bit less known. She is a first husband of Elkanah. She was loved by the Lord. She loved the Lord. She loved by her husband. She faithfully worshipped but was barren. She wanted a son more than anything in the whole world and prayed consistently for it. Commenters show us that because of social status and the values of lineage in the ancient Middle East, that her husband married again in order for her, the new wife, to bear his namesake. But he loved Hannah, his first wife, and was brokenhearted when they couldn't have children. So much so, the second wife mocked Hannah for not being able to have kids because she was able to. So Hannah wanted children more than anything else in the world. And the one person that she was hoping for, she was begging for kids from God. And she said, you know what, the one person in my other family, that other wife, is mocking her for it. The one thing she wanted, she's being mocked for. You can't do it. You can't have them. 1 Samuel 1:7 shows her anguish. This went on year after year. Year after year. And she's waiting, she's yearning, she's wanting. She wants this. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Imagine that, the anguish that Hannah is going through. Verse 10 and 11, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Almighty, Lord Almighty, if you will, only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. That's a vow. It's a covenant. It's a commitment to the Lord. Give me a son, and I will give him back to you. Lord, give it, if, you know, we pray that sometimes, like, Lord, I will do anything. I will do anything if you give me this. Hannah was so faithful. She was loved. She loved the Lord. She prayed in anguish. And she even got to the point where she was praying with so much anguish that the priest at the time, Eli, thought that she was drunk in church. I mean, that's anguish. She's giving it all. She's not even holding anything back. Anyways, they cleared up that, and then he blessed her, and she got pregnant and ended up having a son. And here's where I'm getting at. When we're all in, the things that we desire the most are external possessions, the things that we prioritize and love and even anguished over and prayed over, and the things that we so deeply desire. She gave up. She gave back to the Lord. She didn't just give him up, she gave him back to the Lord. She honored her commitment. She honored her vow. When he was just a little boy, she gave him back to the house of the Lord, which meant that he didn't live in the same house as her. He lived in the with the priests in their home. This is the faithfulness of Hannah. She remembered her vow to the Lord. She promised to give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and she got what she wanted and was willing to give it back to the Lord. An external thing. Hannah was willing to give her most prized possession, her most precious thing that she had. She surrendered what she had on the outside. Can we do that? Do we do that? The true test is when we look at our bank account. I mean, we just got married, so they're like pennies, but it's all good. When we give it all to the Lord, Lord, help me, give me something, give me this, give me a new relationship, give me, I need this help with money, give me this home. Give me this new house. Give me something. Give me a camp. Give me a new car. Whatever external possessions that we have, are we willing to give it back to the Lord and surrender? Are we all in? The second person that I wanted to touch base on was Mary, and maybe some of you have heard me tell this story because it's one of my favorites. It's very humbling. Mary, and many of you probably know the story, Luke 10 records the account of Mary and Martha. And Martha, you're probably familiar with them, which maybe you've heard before. Mary was at the feet of Jesus listening to him teach, and John 12 shows that she had let down her hair, which is a very humbling, it was socially unacceptable at the time, let down her hair and was using it to anoint Jesus' feet with expensive oils. Well, meanwhile, Martha was working hard and to serve Jesus and complained to Jesus about how Mary wasn't doing anything, wasn't doing any of the work. Martha gets a bad rep for that story, doesn't she? I mean, she's seen as this like, oh, you're so such a bully. But the thing with Martha is that previously, just before this, the part of the story that led to this beautiful expression of worship, we don't tell that. Before the famous Martha and Mary story, there were sisters who had just lost their brother. They sent for Jesus, and he took his time getting there. They sent for Jesus because they knew that he would be able to help. Send him so that he can pray for our brother and he won't die. Help him. Jesus took his time getting there, and by the time that he arrived to the scene, Lazarus had been in the tomb for days. I'm going to read to you the rest of it through scripture. It's in John 11. Now when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Remember that. Martha went to Jesus and Mary stayed. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother wouldn't have died. Martha was angry. Have you ever been angry at God? Have you ever been frustrated or confused? Mary and Martha were both angry. But Martha came out to Jesus. If you had been there, Jesus, he would not have died. Even now, though, I know that whatever you ask from God, he will give to you. Jesus answered her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to her, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Questioning her faith. She's coming at him with her anger, her anguish. She said, Jesus, I'm so mad at you. If you had been there, you would have been able to fix it. Jesus challenges her and says, do you believe in me? Do you trust me? she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ and the Son of God who is coming into the world." Okay, Martha met Jesus and they dealt with the anger, they dealt with the unbelief. Where is Mary? She's not on site. She was so angry at Jesus that she stayed behind. They heard he was coming and she pulled herself back. I don't even wanna go there. Have you ever been so angry at God that you pull away from him? Have you ever been so confused that about an outcome in life that you just try to resist him? When Martha had said this, she went and called for her sister, Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." When we're set aside and we're in our anger and we're pulling away from God, Jesus, it shows her right here, is calling out to you. It's calling out to Mary. "Mary, come. I know you're upset with me. I know you don't want to deal with it right now, but come to me. Come here. I'll help." He's calling to you. Then Mary got up. When she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. When the Jews who heard were in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rose quickly to go out, they followed. So now they have an audience. Awesome. Isn't it so much better when you grieve in public? Great. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, here's the encounter. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell. She fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." The anguish. Have you ever been so angry at God? Why do you want to wake up? Woo, so good. Okay. "Lord, if you had been here," could you imagine the hurt? Just if you've ever been angry at God, you know this. And I've been angry at God before, so I can see this. Where you come to the Lord and say, "Oh, this is why I'm upset. This is why I'm frustrated." And you pull yourself away, but he calls you back and says, "Come to me and help. I will help you." And he says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said to her, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Shortest sentence in scripture, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. The reason this is significant to Mary is because she was giving everything to the Lord. The reason it's weird is because Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that what the miracle that he was about to do. He knew the power that he had, and he still came to Mary and helped her in the process of deep hurt. He came to her, called her out of her hiding place. He called her out and said, "Come to me." When she came with everything. Have you ever been like yelling at God? Yeah. I've been there yelling at God, and you're so frustrated, and you're giving him everything. Like, where's the, you're like, "I shouldn't have said that to the Lord." But you're yelling at God, you give it everything, right? Mary gave it everything and she's so upset. And the best part is that Jesus knew he was going to raise her brother. He knew the end result. He knew the miracle and yet processed with her so deeply, processed her anger, and was so moved by her pain that they wept together. They wept together. Mary brought everything to the Lord. She was all in. Hannah brought everything to the Lord. She was all in different ways. Hannah brought everything to the Lord on the external, but Mary brought everything on the internal. And sometimes we can say, "You know what, God, have my car, have my house, but you can't have my trust. You know, have my relationship, have my car keys." I already said car. Have it all, but you can't have my pride. I can't raise my hands in church. I can't sing louder than somebody else. You can't have my fear of the future, right? You can have it all, but you can't have these certain things. You can't have the inside. Mary brought everything she had to the Lord, and he processed with her, wept with her Even though he knew the miracle, they spent time together, working it out. Hannah offered what she had, and so did Mary. External possessions and internal possessions. Don't settle for giving only part of you to Jesus. John 3:16, he died for it all. You are fully saved. You are fully redeemed, fully rescued. There is so much more in life than only giving one compartment or one area of your life to him. There's so much more. Jesus came to give his full life to the fullest. We have such a reason to celebrate, right? There's an explanation. I'm going to just close in closing. There's an explanation. Actually, the worship team can come up. We're just going to sing one more song, and it's going to be The Praise Is Rising, because we get to praise is rise. We get to worship, and it's an upbeat song because we are free. So we're going to celebrate together. So come on up, worship team. But I just want to touch base on one more thing. The difference between grace and mercy. If you get pulled over, many of you know this, if you get pulled over and you're going a million miles an hour, do you deserve the ticket? Yes. And when the officer comes over and he says, you know what, I'm going to have some mercy on you, you are just going to get a warning. That's mercy. But grace is when he says, you know what, that ticket was worth $100. Here, you can take that $100. That would probably not happen, so don't try it. But mercy is being forgiven for what you deserved. Grace is going above and beyond what you deserved and being offered so much more than you ever could have hoped for or imagined. That is grace. We've been given mercy and grace. We've been forgiven for what we've done wrong, what we deserve. We've been forgiven for that. We also have grace, where he just pours out blessing, more than a $100 ticket. He gives us so much more. That's the grace of God. We're saved by what? Mercy? Grace. Abundantly more than we could ever hope for or imagine. That is our God. So we have reason to celebrate today. We don't love because we feel like it. We love because Christ first loved us, so much so that he saved us. We respond to that love with our full life, with what is external like Hannah and internal like Mary. I want you to rise to your feet, and I want you to praise. I want you to worship like you are free, like you are set free. I want you to offer your external and your internal to the Lord, because you are not compartmentally saved. You are fully saved, fully redeemed. If you want to worship, if you want to jump around and dance, if you want to kneel down and spend time with the Lord, go ahead and do that, because you are not hindered in the house of the Lord. Amen?